Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet, AM 570 LA Sports, the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour, 866-987-2570. You give us your best 30-second take, we will give you a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse, wherever you are and whatever you do. There is a BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse near you. A lot to get to today. If Russell Westbrook is available, should the Clippers pull the trigger? We'll get into that during the 1 o'clock hour. This hour, 12:30, will make you the smartest person in the room. David Vasse will join us as we get ready for the big series tonight against the Diamondbacks, Dodgers, and D-backs. Rich Hill returns from the DL. He'll make the start for the Dodgers. Okay, Rodney, so can we both agree that this is a very important series? I know it's so early. I know it's early May. I get all of that. But boy, when you are playing the team that you are chasing, you've got to take advantage of those opportunities.
100%. And yeah, you said it. It's May. It's early. That's what we've been hearing for the last 3 weeks as the Dodgers kind of been up and down. But it certainly feels like August. It really does. With the team that the Dodgers have been playing mostly, that being the Diamondbacks and the Giants, and we're chasing the Diamondbacks and have to play them for two games this week, it feels like a more pressure situation than normally you would find in May. So, yeah, the pressure's on. And at some point, you got to stop saying, it's early, it's early. We'll get past this, it's early. Sometime you got to get on a roll and you got to change the narrative. And that narrative needs to change today.
But to be fair, if you're a Dodger fan, and there are those that panic, we have the Panic Brothers that work at this radio station.
Yes, they do.
I don't happen to be one of them.
But no, you're Panic Uncle.
No, I'm not panicking. Because to be fair, I mean, the team has been decimated by injuries.
Yeah. But you know how people don't care, right? As much as it is, the fans, they don't always look at it that way. Because on the surface, it's still the Dodgers. And the Dodgers have gotten away with the system and the next guy up and been successful over the last 5 years. So the fans don't always buy into that. You know, it's an excuse, and it's when you really break it down, yeah, there's been riddled by injuries, but at the end of the day, all the fans are seeing is they lost 2 out of 3 to the Padres, you know, or they're 15-19. I mean, it's tough to take, regardless of the injuries and the real dynamics that are going on.
All right, well, the Dodgers are 4 games under .500, 8 games back in the National League West. They have played 11 series this season. They have won just 2 of them. That is problematic. Let's now break things down by the numbers, so break out your abacus.
Number, please.
93. What do you think 93 stands for?
93, let me just, without looking at my paper.
Yeah, you guess on these.
Yeah, I'm a guess. 93 is the number of wins the Dodgers will have this year.
No, I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Oh.
93, the Dodgers have $93 million of their payroll on the disabled list right now.
Ouch! $93
million? $93 million of their
payroll.
It's on the DL.
Is on the DL. Good Lord.
Number, please.
84.5. What does that stand for?
Okay, I'm going to go 84.5. I'm going to say that is now the number of wins. I'm going to go wins on that one because it was higher before the season. Now they probably dropped it. So I'm going to go wins.
And that is correct.
Oh, yes.
Vegas sportsbooks now project the Dodgers to win 84.5 games. Opening day, it was 96 games.
Number, please.
The number 61. What does that stand for?
That stands for the number of Alex Verdugo.
Yes. But I'm sorry, that would be incorrect. In this situation.
Shut up.
No. 61 is the percentage of games the Dodgers will have played against the Diamondbacks and Ooh. Giants after Wednesday.
Wait. 61% of the games so far have been against the Giants and Diamondbacks?
Yes.
That's a crazy number.
Yeah, that doesn't help them here.
No.
And that's why you find yourself that far behind.
Hey, wow. How does that happen in scheduling-wise? But if you're going into the season, and obviously we're mad now because the Dodgers have to play the Diamondbacks and the Giants. But if you're going into the season the way the Dodgers came off the World Series and you're the Diamondbacks, you're pissed off. God, why do we got to play the Dodgers so many times?
Looking at the schedule before it comes out? Absolutely.
You're pissed if you're the Diamondbacks and the Giants, right?
No question.
Yeah, now you're happy.
Yeah, now you're upset if you're the Dodgers. And one more.
Number, please.
38.5.
Hmm. I have no idea what that number is.
The most recent percentage that the Dodgers will make the postseason,
ooh,
according to ESPN's projections,
ooh,
38.5.
Under 50%. Where were they before the season started?
Well, I guarantee you they 80? Were more than...
Oh, yeah, they were up like 65%.
Yeah.
Two-thirds.
Wow.
When you hear all the numbers, what do you think? Mm.
Doesn't look good.
It's not what you want.
Doesn't look good. The one that strikes me the most is $93 million on the DL right now.
Think about that.
$93 million of payroll is on the DL right now.
Yeah.
That's an incredible number.
So I understand fans are upset and they're frustrated and they think, oh, my God, they just lost 2 of 3 to San Diego. But if you just, and because analytics is such a big part of the game now, if you just really look at the analytics, look at the numbers, you can pretty much sense why they are where they're at. Look, last year somebody gets hurt, they call somebody up, all of a sudden that person catches fire. With all due respect, Max Muncy is not setting the world on fire.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay.
He's a solid player, but yeah,
he's fine.
Not Chris Taylor or Bellinger from last year.
Right.
Exactly.
Alex Verdugo is kind of getting his sea legs at this point.
Yeah.
He's settling in. I think, you know, he's getting an opportunity. But I must tell you, I think the jury is out.
Yeah. I mean, I like Verdugo. I like his hustle. I like his head. I think, but he just doesn't feel like he's going to be that spark like Bellinger was last year, where he was hitting bombs and that just lifted everybody up. But I tell you what, a guy that is encouraging that he doesn't play every day is Walker Buehler. I mean, it's exciting the fact that he's going to get a real opportunity to be consistent. But again, he's not an everyday player, so it makes it difficult in terms of the win-loss situation.
Well, you know, he's part of that four-man no-hitter.
Yeah.
How do you feel when a manager goes out? Don Mattingly has done it. Dave Roberts has done it. When you get to a certain point in the game or you've hit that pitch count, I don't care if you're throwing a no-hitter or not. You're coming out of the game.
I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. I don't like it's at some point you still have to have a feel for the game and a feel of the game and know where you are. I mean, I forget it was during that time in Mexico, they were talking about Fernando, who threw a no-hitter. He had 147 pitches. But you got to get the feel of the game. And I think, yeah, we can go overboard on the analytics, but if a guy's going good and he's got a no-hitter in the seventh, and so what if his pitch count is high? If he gets in trouble, he gets in trouble. But let him go a little bit longer. Just err on that side of a little bit to let the kid go through a no-hitter, because it does do a lot for your morale, especially if it's one guy. Now, they did it with four, but if one guy does a no-hitter, it does so much more for your clubhouse and gets guys excited. So I would let him go.
And I'll play the other side of it. All right, we let him go. And you know what? That one time we let him go when he threw 118 pitches and we only had him at 90 or 75 in this game. Now, later in the year, he's blown out his arm.
Oh, come on.
Now, I'm telling you, well, that's how they look at it. That's how they base it. If we let him go too long, we're using up his innings. And it's the total number of innings, not just innings in one game.
You know, I like to see the analytics of the guys in the 70s and 80s going complete games and the amount of injuries that they had versus the amount of injuries that we have now.
You mean like a guy like Bob Gibson?
Bob Gibson that would just give me the ball, I'll go 180 pitches. Doesn't matter.
Sandy Koufax,
Nolan Ryan, they were going into the eighth, ninth inning. It was it. It was not a big deal. And now if you go past eight or past seven, it's like, oh, my God, you know, let's put a star up. You know what I mean? It's almost like a participation trophy now if you go past seven innings.
Well, there are guys because of the analytics now, Rich Hill, one of them. You know, you can see these guys twice. Third time around, good chance they're going to hit you. You're out of the game. Doesn't matter what the score is.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get that, but sometimes you also got to go with the feel. If I'm feeling it, and I know the third time around, the stats say they're going to hit me, but my curveball's biting tonight, and I got it tonight, so you got to let me go. And there's got to be some of that conversation going back and forth, and I don't think there is.
All right, we've broken down the numbers. We've talked about the pitching. Here's the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour question today at 866-987-2570. Get online early. I think we've learned now recently that the lines jam quickly. We try to get through as many as we can. We have other business we have to take care of. So if you want a piece of BJ's, if you want that $100 gift card, get online now. So here it is. As we sit here today on May 8th, are the Dodgers a playoff team? You've heard the numbers. Are they a playoff team as we sit here on May 8th? That could change on May 18th. That could change on June 18th. But on May 8th, are the Dodgers a playoff team? You tell us why. 866-987-2570. Your best 30-second take gets a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. And I want to say happy birthday to somebody.
Do it.
I want to say happy birthday to my daughter, Haley Rogan.
Haley!
Haley Rogan today.
All right.
22 years old.
Yeah, Haley Rogan. Happy birthday, Haley.
Haley spent the day with her friend and her mom at an undisclosed location. That's all I'll say. But I'm sure they're having a great time.
I mean, they hid it from you, huh, Fred?
That's But happy birthday, honey. Happy birthday. We love you very much. All right. We'll start taking your calls. Are they a playoff team or not? David Vasse will join us next segment. We'll get an update now on the Dodger injuries. When are we going to see Forsyth? When are we going to see Puig? When are we going to see Turner? And we'll learn more about Clayton Kershaw. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. That's right.
Big boy.
Come on, big boy.
Come on now.
I've known big boy a long time.
Long time. When he was big boy.
When he was big boy.
Yes.
Now he's slender big boy.
He looks great now.
Doesn't he?
Oh, absolutely.
What an
incredible. Same voice, though.
Yeah, what an incredible success he has been in this city.
100%. He's talking about lasting power, man. He is, he's been there. He's always in tune to what's going on in the community. I mean, he was down there. Remember when we did the turkey giveaway? He was down there hanging out.
Yep.
Nope. He's very active in the community. Great voice, great personality. Love big boy.
Good man. Thanks for doing that, big boy. And by the way, I am an authority, as you know.
Yes, you are.
When it comes to music.
Yes, you are.
Nobody bigger authority than me.
You break it down, Fred.
All right. So you tell us, are the Dodgers a playoff team? 866-987-2570. Your best 30-second take is going to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse, a $100 gift card. Danny in Anaheim, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
One sec. I'm getting a call. One sec.
What?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. We know you're getting a call. Go ahead.
You know, with this team, you know, it's a lot different this year. We would really need Kluberson right now. That was one of the biggest trades I knew would hurt us in the season. One of the guys is not coming through. Also, Chris Taylor's bat is just really, really not coming through like last year. Turner, I hope, gets back. You know, guys, I don't know if we're a playoff team right now. Not this year, but right now. And I want to get into another conversation where
but we're not getting into another conversation.
Gotcha. So that is right now.
Oh, too late. Too long. 30 seconds. That's what it's got to be. Let's go, Steven and Hawthorne. You're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Guys, like Curtis Mayfield, God rest his soul, saying the makings of you. Like you guys with those nice dedications, the Dodgers have the makings of a playoff team once. Guys like Justin Turner and Julio Urias and the rest of the cavalry get back. Let's not get crazy, Dodger fans.
All right. Good take.
Half full. I like that guy. He's half full, Fred.
Now, was that Abner Doubleday that called or? Okay. Wow. Let's put a grain in somebody's hand.
Oh, wow. And listen, answer the phone when somebody calls you to try to give you some money. Block number, unknown number. You got to answer the phone. That's the only way you can win. We're trying to give you money, people.
That's all we want to do.
Answer the phone.
Answer the phone. All right. A man who'll answer the phone right now for us. He's got the insight on Kershaw, Dodger injuries. David Vasse. David, thanks for jumping on.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I'm just outside my favorite barbershop, Dino's in Canoga Park. What you know about that, Rodney?
Oh, I don't know anything about it, Dave. Tell me about it.
Well, Bobby Chacon used to get his hair cut here in the Valley, man. It's one of the oldest barbershops in the Valley.
Okay. Bobby Chacon.
Yeah, man.
Right on.
My
I have
man
to check
Alex,
it out.
My man Alex at Dino's. He's the man to come see, Fred.
Why are you getting your hair cut? You really don't have any hair.
Well, that's what I told him. I said, if you want more business, don't take too much off.
Do they shave you as well, Dave?
Hey, by the way, I do have hair thanks to my friends at Bosley, okay?
I'm offended by that.
Fred.
Sorry, Dave. Then you better not get too much shaved off.
Do they shave your face as well, Dave?
If I ask them to, they go straight edge on the sideburns and around the neck area, Rodney, so you know that's legit.
Oh, yeah. Old school.
Yeah. They told me that back in the day they were able to slap you on the neck when they put, like, the oil on after at the end, and now in the PC world they can't smack you on the neck anymore.
You know, that's funny. Anytime I get oil put on me anywhere, I like to get slapped.
You want a little slap on that oil, Fred.
Yeah, that's how I roll, Dave.
Whoa. Never mind all that, Dave. Talk about bicep tendonitis, Dave. What do we know about
Rodney,
this?
Yeah, I'm curious if you ever had that, Rodney.
No.
I think people, you're a little, if you're just worried about the bicep when you hear this with Kershaw, you're not seeing the whole full scope of things, because bicep tendonitis is basically inflammation of this tendon that connects the bicep to the shoulder. So the shoulder is probably sending an alarm signal to the bicep and saying this tendon is not feeling that great. And I guess for the Dodgers and Kershaw, the good news is the MRI just showed that that tendon is inflamed and there's nothing more extensive with that shoulder at this point in time. So that's the good news. When we get to Dodger Stadium today, hopefully Kershaw will talk to us and we'll get a little bit more clarity on how long he'll be out.
Yeah, but the bottom line here is we really don't know, and it's just rest until it's better, right?
Exactly, Fred. And I think the one thing that's concerning for everybody involved is the fact that this will be, what, the fourth time in the last 5 years that Kershaw has been on the DL for a number of different reasons. It's been the back the last two times, a herniated disc and a back strain. And also, don't forget, back in 2014, he had an upper back strain after the Dodgers came back from Sydney, Australia, back in 2014. So I think people take for granted, just like they did with Kobe, that this guy puts in a lot of work in between starts. Not to mention, too, that, yeah, he's only 30, but he's pitched 11 years now. He has a lot of innings on that body. His windup is very violent, and he's had to pitch on short rest and high-stress playoff situations each of the last 5 years. So that's going to take a toll on your body, and you guys know this. Pitchers are, at some point in time, going to have to face the reality that their body is not going to allow them to do that type of motion for 10, 15 years without barking back.
No, absolutely right. Dave, what's the mood around the clubhouse? I mean, I know we keep saying it's early, but it seems as though every week something's happening with this team that it's not all positive.
Right. Rodney, the mood on the plane was not as great going to Mexico as it was leaving Mexico, as you can imagine. And I guess from a lot of people's standpoint, the frustration with the bullpen, the last 14 games, including those four where they pitched pretty well, their ERA is close to six, and they're walking a lot of guys, which is something the Dodger bullpen and staff in general did not do last year at all, and that's got them in a lot of trouble. And the Dodger bullpen and I would say their offense are the two biggest reasons why they're in this predicament.
Well, Farhan Zaidi was on with us last week, and we asked him, you know, you fall further behind, when is it important? When do you start to worry? And he goes, every game is urgent now. We urgently need to turn this around. Do you get that sense from the club?
Yes, but I still believe a lot of guys are not going to say the season's over just because they're 8 games back or 9 games back at this point in time in the season, Fred. I think we'll have a clearer picture of where the Dodgers are at the end of May. When you get into June, that's where you really start to look at the standings. But you know, I agree with a lot of people that are saying that by the time this team may round into shape, it could be too late, because you look at the perfect storm here in this division. In years past, the division was not very good. Now you have the Arizona Diamondbacks off to a franchise-best start, which complicates things for the Dodgers, who are trying to get players back, plus trying to get their own house in order with the guys that they do have. And by the time that happens this year, it may be a 10-game deficit, a 9-game deficit. I wouldn't say things are perfect right now in Dodger land.
You know, you talk about when you get guys back. Well, let's try to figure it out. I know Justin Turner has been taking batting practice. He's aiming for the next road trip. But give us an update, if you know one. When is Turner back? When is Forsyth back? When is Yasiel Puig back?
Puig's back Wednesday. The Dodgers plan on activating him on Wednesday. He's going out to Rancho Cucamonga yesterday and I believe today to have a couple of rehab games. And this might have been a blessing in disguise for him to reset his season. Dave Roberts told me as much in Arizona, because even though he was on the field, he was not playing very well and not swinging the bat very well. So hopefully this resets his season. Now, Justin Turner is supposed to take part in simulated games on Wednesday and Thursday at Dodger Stadium and then go out on a rehab assignment. And the goal for him is to rejoin the Dodgers in Miami or Washington, D.C. next week on the road trip. But he was telling me there's a lot of hurdles that he has to really clear that he hasn't done. I mean, he hasn't slid into a base with his left hand dragging. He hasn't really had to dive for a ball. with his with the glove on his left hand. So there are things that happen in a game that he can't simulate in rehab or even in a minor league game. So all these things are something that he has to really clear before he's going to be back to normal and really trust that his left wrist can do everything that it needs to do.
What about Forsythe?
Forsythe, we keep getting conflicting messages about where he's at with his right shoulder inflammation, Fred. So I would say probably by the end of this week, maybe on the next road trip, depending on how that shoulder responds. And the greater question now is, when he does come back, where does he play? Because he said that his inflammation came from making the throws from third base. So are the Dodgers going to put him back at third, or are they just going to stick and give him second base, which is his natural position?
Ay, ay, ay. What in the world, Dave? Now, listen, you said that the concern doesn't really happen until June, but you got the Diamondbacks in here for two games, leading the division. As you said, they're red hot. This makes it more important than usual at this time of the year, right?
Yes, and what's also complicated things, Rodney, is the Dodgers have played the Arizona Diamondbacks, 11 times now? It might be 13 by the end of these two games. And that you only play a team in your division 19 times, and the first 2 months of the season has been heavy Arizona Diamondback games, heavy San Francisco Giant games, and those with the Diamondbacks, they're like I mentioned, they're off to a franchise best start, and they're catching them during this hot streak, and they're losing ground two games at a time when they lose those games to the D-backs. So that was huge for them to get that split in Arizona on that last road trip, and it'll be, I'm not going to say they're going to take both these games because you got Rich Hill on the mound, who doesn't really look like Rich Hill all the time against the Diamondbacks, and you got Alex Wood tomorrow against Patrick Corbin. So it's going to be a tough test for them, but they can get healthy with the Reds after these two games.
Well, Dave, thanks for jumping on. Thanks for getting us up to date and
getting a haircut, Dave.
Yeah, and you know what?
Yeah.
And maybe it's just my own personal thing. I hope they oil you up and just give you a real good whack.
Oh, whoa.
Hey, oh, wow, that hurts, Fred.
I'm going to let you guys discuss that.
Hey, the sky is not falling, all right? It's still a lot of baseball season left, okay, Fred? Just remember that.
I'm not the one
panicking.
There you
go, Dave. That's what I'm saying.
There's no panic.
That's what I keep saying, Dave. No I'm panic. Trying to talk him off the ledge every day.
Good Lord. All right, Dave.
Doing that, Rodney.
All right, we'll talk to you, Dave.
See you guys.
See you, Dave. There he goes.
Did you say you want him to get oiled up and slapped?
Yeah, given what he said earlier, absolutely. You know, he's always so combative. I don't understand what his issue is when he comes in.
Depends on what kind of meal he had for breakfast, Fred. I think it does. But he got his hair cut, so he's feeling good.
Yeah, that's right. The hair he has, at least it's cut. The BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour question at 866-987-2570. Are the Dodgers a playoff team? That's the question. Your best 30-second take is going to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse, a $100 gift card. Mark in Long Beach, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Hi, Fred. So my answer to that question is we can be. We have every tool, every possible ability to do it. I saw the Royals play an amazing two seasons where they went to the World Series twice in a row, but we have to play within our abilities. The games we've won, we've been hitting to the gaps, hitting to the spaces. When we try to swing for the fences and one guy hangs it all on his shoulders, it doesn't work out. But when we just keep the line moving, getting singles, doubles, triples, and hitting it where the defense is not.
Shoot. Too long. BJ's is only 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Because we're trying to get so many people on.
Everybody's got to take, though, Fred.
Everybody's got to take today.
Passionate about the Dodgers.
All right, let's go real quick. Buddy in Rancho Cucamonga, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
What's that? You need to show the performance when you get here.
What? What? Okay.
Hello?
Go ahead, buddy. Go.
Yeah, 30 seconds. Go now. Go.
Yeah. We're just going through a lot of diversity. When we get all our players back, we have 2 to 3 aces. We've got Ryu coming back.
Buddy, did you say they're going through a lot of diversity?
This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and when we get everybody back, we're going to have an awesome team, minus Seager, but Kemp's filling in. And once we get everybody back, we're going to make a run, and we'll be fine.
All right. Good job. Thank you very much for that.
This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight.
Let's do one more. Let's see if we get a little more diversity. Joey in Arcadia, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, just want to say it's not just completely up to us. If the Diamondbacks continue playing well, you know, it doesn't really matter what we do with the lead right now. But what my question is Chris Taylor, you know, struggled and for years in the minor league system, revamps his swing, and then last year had a resurgence. So was last year just a flash in the pan, or is Chris Taylor going back to his average? That's my question. Thanks, guys.
All right. I think Chris Taylor will be fine.
Yeah, I do, too. I do, too. But he can't ask a question when we're asking a question.
Well, that's a good point, Rodney. You know what?
It's the BJ's lunch hour.
Obviously, a good try. He was not the smartest person in the room, but who will be?
Is it real?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Or fake news?
Fake.
Joining us today, her initial appearance in Real or Fake, Intern Chrissy. Intern Chrissy, thank you for being here.
Good.
Hi.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You sure?
Yes.
You won't be smiling when you leave this room. I'm going to tell you that right now.
All right.
I never lost. No, never lost.
I never lose.
You don't?
Nope.
Okay, well, good. Well, Rodney occasionally has lost, so you've got a shot.
Got it.
Ready?
But in reality, I never lost.
Cody Bellinger takes his scooter to IHOP every morning for breakfast. Dodgers first baseman Cody Bellinger admitted on Jimmy Kimmel last night that he goes to IHOP every morning for breakfast. He says he bought a scooter on Amazon and he uses that to get there. Rodney, Cody Bellinger rides a scooter to IHOP. Is that real or fake?
Ah, to be young and fun and having a good time nowadays. That's Cody Bellinger. He can do whatever he wants and riding a scooter to IHOP, sometimes you figure out what you love. You know, he's an Arizona kid. And sometimes you find that place that you love to have breakfast at, and you go every day, and he goes on his scooter. There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely real. That is real!
Intern Chrissy.
I think that it's so specific that it's real as well.
You do?
Yeah.
I go to IHOP every morning.
Every
morning I go to IHOP and get banana Nutella crepe with hash browns, bacon, and eggs, two over medium. I ride my scooter there.
You shouldn't be allowed on a scooter. What are you doing on a scooter?
Well, I don't want to drive. I have a car. I can't parallel park. So for me to get in my car and try to find open parking spots.
Love it. Hopefully he didn't have to go too far on that scooter.
No, I don't know if that's safe either.
No, it's not.
Chrissy, good start.
Thank you.
Okay. Couple solicited $3,000 in donations and a Syracuse visit by faking cancer story. A couple from Central New York fabricated a 2017 story about their son having cancer, soliciting about $3,000 in funds for his recovery and a visit with the Syracuse University football team. According to the sheriff's office, Martin and Jolene LaFrance faked the story of their son, CJ LaFrance, having Hodgkin's lymphoma, and set up a GoFundMe page that received $3,334 in donations. Chrissy, is that real or fake?
I think it's real.
You do?
Yeah.
You just got a gut feeling that it's real, huh?
I feel like people nowadays do crazy things, especially for money.
Yeah, that's true. Do you do crazy things?
No.
Okay, good.
well, do you do anything for money?
whoa, Freddie. Freddie.
I don't even know what that meant.
Freddie.
That was wrong.
Bring Ed Big Man back. You know, I just nowadays, you know, you do hear crazy stuff, but this one, to me, it feels fake. I'm going to go fake on that one.
Oh, no.
I got it right?
Yeah, you got it right.
Oh, I told you I don't lose.
Early. We still got a lot of mo. We got a lot of mo, and I never lost.
Okay, we'll see.
LaVar Ball says his 16-year-old son, LaMelo, will score 80 points in an NBA game. Promoting the JBA, his new semi-pro league, or whatever it is, LaVar Ball made the rounds with sons LiAngelo and LaMelo yesterday. In one of his interviews, LaVar said this, just you watch, LaMelo is going to score 80 points in an NBA game one day. Rodney, is that real or fake?
Oh, God. It's because you don't, anything coming out of his mouth, you're not surprised. But I don't think he said this. He's been laying low lately. And so I don't think he went out on that limb and said he's going to score 80 points in an NBA game. So I'm going to go fake. That's fake.
I agree. I think it's fake, too.
You do?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
You don't want to reconsider?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sure.
Oh,
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
You got to watch out for Fred. He tries to give tips.
All right. Well, I tried to get you back in the game.
You did.
All right.
You're on my side.
True friend.
Yeah. Thank you. He should appreciate that. LeBron James' son trolls Drake on Twitter. Ahead of last night's Game 4 between the Cavs and Raptors, the son of LeBron James, LeBron Jr., took to Twitter to troll hip-hop artist and renowned Raptor supporter Drake. Bronny James responded to Drake's tweet by writing, "Your season ends tonight," to which Drake responded, three crying emojis and the words, "Nah, my season starts in June, Junior." Chrissy, is that real or fake?
I'm going to go with fake.
Going to go fake?
Yeah.
Just doesn't sound real to you.
I feel like I would have seen it if it was real.
Okay, you're going fake.
Yeah.
Rodney.
I like that logic. You're absolutely right. I think I would have seen more of that. So LeBron's son trolling Drake. Drake's got enough trollers that he doesn't need to bring LeBron. LeBron's son didn't need to bring himself into that. I'm going to go fake.
It's real, boy.
Whoa!
Whoa.
It's real, boy. It's real.
I could have got back in the game.
All right. Time is short.
Man, oh, man.
Pitcher involved in the Dodgers' combined no-hitter almost had to get passed up. Tony Cingrani was one of the relievers in the combined lineup hitter Friday for the Dodgers, but he almost wasn't because Cingrani said this, "I was in the bathroom sitting there when our bullpen coach shouted at me to start warming up. Luckily, it all worked out." Rodney, is that real or fake?
Where was he when he shouted at him?
He was in the bathroom.
Oh. That sounds real. But it's fake.
Chrissy.
I'm going to go with real.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Because it sounds real.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was your mistake.
It's all fake news.
Yes.
It's phony stuff.
It.
We're back,
we're
baby.
We're tied now?
Yes, we are.
This is it.
Okay.
This is for the win.
Okay.
So here's what you can do. You can win. You can lose. Or you can tie.
Okay.
Ain't going to be no tie.
And you'll be the first one to answer. Okay. Dwight Howard says Russell Westbrook should have sacrificed more. The great Dwight Howard.
Probably a loser.
Thinks that Russell Westbrook didn't do enough to involve Paul George and Carmelo Anthony this season. He said on ESPN this morning, "Russ has the ball more times in his hands, and I watched Carmelo and Paul George at times, and they were just standing there watching." Chrissy, for the win.
I'm going to go fake.
You're going to say fake.
Yeah.
Well, Rodney plays only one way.
I play to win, Chrissy. That's how I play. Whatever you said, I was going opposite because I don't like the tie.
Yeah.
And I go out on a limb.
Do you want to change your answer?
No. It's already in the books.
Okay.
It's in the books.
All right.
It's real.
It's real, boy.
Sometimes.
Chrissy, good job.
Thank you.
Never lost.
No, you've lost. You have
never
lost.
Oh, yeah.
He has lost.
I know. I'm like LeVar. I don't remember that.
Never lost.
I don't remember those losses.
Chrissy, thanks for coming in. You were delightful.
Thank you so much for having me.
Where do you go to school?
I go to Cal State Northridge.
Very nice.
All right.
A Matador.
In the Valley.
I'm graduating next week.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Come back again. You got to lose as a graduate.
All right, I will.
Should we do another BJ's here, Kevin, before we go to break? All right, let's get one more. Let's go. Are the Dodgers a playoff team? That's the question. Let's go. Marcos and Diamond Bar, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
We are absolutely a playoff team. This is the same team from last year. We've actually gotten better. Our injuries is holding us back right now. But what the injuries are going to do is going to make this team hungry. Last year we got over 100 wins and everybody got complacent, including our manager. Started playing all these guys that had no business in the majors. This year we're going to come from the behind and we're going to take the division again and we're going to win the World Series.
All right. Appreciate it.
What guys is he talking about that had no business in the majors?
I don't know. They all played pretty well to me. I don't know. They got the Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah.
And you know
all
what?
These guys that have no business in the majors.
You know why they didn't win the World Series? Because they had all those guys that shouldn't have been in the majors.
There you go.
They got them there.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. When we come back, You tell us, could this guy become one of the marquee performers and names in Los Angeles? We'll get to that, and we'll award BJ's. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peete, AM 570 LA Sports. That came from Mitch and Tarzana. What a nice dedication. Mitch, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Thanks for sending that in. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks for taking my call. You guys learned the best. Two hours will do you justice.
Thanks.
Hey,
thanks,
I'm not
Mitch.
Worried. I'm not worried now. But a month from now, if we're not any better, just to me, we're going to have guys coming back from injuries. Hopefully, Peters come back. Verdu shows what he can do. And maybe they'll have to push for a trade for Machado. This is if they don't improve in a month. But I'm not worried. All right. Other teams in the National League are struggling, too. Even the Nats are not in first place.
All right, Mitch.
Something. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mitch.
Can we have Karen Sharp come on and interpret what Mitch just said? She should do all his calls.
No, Mitch is a great writer.
Good writer.
Mitch was a great writer. That was such a wonderful dedication from Mitch.
Was. He's not worried, though.
No. All right, we're going to award BJ's here in a couple of seconds. Rodney, when you think of the, and because you played here, USC, you live here with your wife, think of the athletes who really made an impression personality-wise. Guys that just jumped out. Shaq, for example.
Yeah.
He would be one of those guys that really jumped out.
Yeah. I think Magic took the city by storm.
Took the city by storm. Yep. Just personality-wise.
All right.
I think people love Puig, and it's funny, even though you couldn't really understand him at the beginning, there was just something joyful about him. He was one of those guys.
No, absolutely one of those guys that you he put people in the stands, and people would love to see what he might do or stick his tongue out or just had – he had so much personality that you wanted to be around him. You wanted to see what he was going to do. But to your point, he didn't speak very good English, so it makes it a little bit difficult sometimes. So who has been that guy like a Magic or like Shaq or – the football's just come back, so we'll see who that's going to be for the Chargers or for the Rams.
Casey Hayward could be for the Chargers.
Could be.
Yeah.
He's a very outgoing personality. Blake Griffin was that for the Clippers when he was here.
A little bit.
You know, he did the commercials. He was like that dry humor kind of thing. You know, I think on-court kind of had some issues with it, but he was that personality.
You mean when he punched a guy in the face and broke his own hand?
Hey, that was the guy's fault. His face got in the ring.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
Yeah, it does. It does. But from a Dodgers standpoint, I'm trying to think of who was it? Who has it been over the last 20 years or so for the Dodgers? Who was that big personality?
Yeah, we're not talking about their play. I mean, that obviously contributes, but who's got that little twinkle, that little sparkle personality-wise?
Yeah.
All right, well, maybe it's Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger was on Jimmy Kimmel last night, and we want to let you hear a couple of things he said, because I have to tell you, he was very, very funny. And here's an exchange he had with Jimmy Kimmel about Yasiel Puig.
Yasiel Puig, he is, is he crazy? What's going on?
Yeah, he's crazy, man. He's crazy. He's from Cuba. He's crazy. There's so many stories that I could say. He licks his bat.
Yeah,
which I've never seen on a field until I played with him. But he's awesome.
He licks the bat. It's possible he could get a splinter in his tongue one day.
He could do something. But he's awesome. He plays the game 100%. Every single day. So
he does. Yeah,
we have a lot of respect for him. He does it in a different way. He's a good teammate. He's a clown. He's an idiot. Though.
When you
he's funny though.
I know you say that affectionately. Yeah, I know you love him. I've seen that you called him an idiot before. I was like, why is he calling him an idiot? Like, oh, he's just kidding.
I call him stupid every day. That's his nickname. I say, what's up, stupid?
Baseball, it's a tough game. I mean, there's a lot of literally locker room talk going on there.
So, over the weekend, there was a no-hitter. Four different pitchers combined for that no-hitter, Dodgers. Yeah. Do you guys abide by the rule of never discussing the no-hitter while it's happening?
Absolutely. We did such a good job of not letting people know that some people on our team didn't even know we had a no-hitter after the game.
After the game?
So we go through the tunnel, go into the locker room. I'm not going to name any names. But I was like, I didn't know if I should have celebrated with the pitcher or not. And he goes, why? And I was like, we just throw a new hitter. And he goes, oh,
got a pretty good personality.
Yeah, he does. He does. And he seems very natural with it, too, for a young kid. He bursted on the scene last year. Obviously, L.A. is as big as it gets, playing in L.A. and New York. But to go on Kimmel and be that natural He's got it. He's got that factor that, like you said, that personality that can be larger in life in terms of LA and who's the next guy. He could be that guy.
All right, now here he is talking about rookie hazing.
When you're the rookie of the year, when you're playing as well as you did last year and as you do, do you get hazed more or less by your teammates?
No, I got it lucky. The only thing I had to do, I had to dress up. I was Elvis Presley one day. I had to walk. I forgot what state we were in. I had to walk from our hotel to dinner in my Elvis Presley outfit with a few other rookies.
That's not too bad.
No, it wasn't bad.
Did they provide the costume, or are you going to have to go to get that
JT
yourself?
Bought us a costume.
Okay, all right.
He's got a lot of money in his pocket, so he bought the costume. Carrying beer on the plane, going by every row, making sure everybody's got some beer if they want some beer. And then I'll just kind of have it right there for the trip, and people just come by and... That's my job as the rookie, make sure everyone's got some beer.
You're the guy that carries the beer. All right.
That's
not bad. And do you guys do that now this year to another young rookie? Who's the beer carrier this year?
We got Alex Verdugo on it now. We just called him up. He's one of our big prospects. So we make sure that he's getting treated as a rookie.
Badly.
A
little
bit.
Yeah.
We're trying to.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
And you know, it's one of those things you can't really coach that. It is who you are, and your personality comes out, and it's great to see him let his hair down. I'm just trying to think back to the different Dodgers over the years that kind of had that personality, because, like you said, it's usually been a Laker, a basketball guy, or even a football guy. You had, you know, Eric Dickerson was here, you know, Marcus Allen, and those guys.
Kevin just yelled? Manny Ramirez.
Manny Ramirez, yes.
He has a bigger personality than Manny.
Yeah, but Manny, you know, Manny, look. People thought
Manny
he was pregnant.
Manny.
He was on a female growth hormone.
But he didn't do the circuit. He didn't do the rounds like you know, the talk show rounds and things like that.
Manny was goofy.
He was goofy like that.
Yeah.
Piazza, maybe. Piazza was a big personality when he was here.
Yeah, but I don't know if he was that funny.
But not outgoing like Cody is. Like, yeah, exactly.
Manny did not welcome doing media. He didn't want to do, like, he would never have done like Kimmel or something. In fact, yeah. He always like posed like he didn't speak English, even though he was born in the Bronx. he spoke Spanish, but I think he didn't really hear him talk much.
He talked to Vic all the time. Vic has a special connection with certain players, obviously, but he like got into it multiple times.
To Jason's point, you know, he brought the Spanish out when people were trying to ask him questions. But when he's talking to Vic, he was perfect English.
Like Sosa at Congress.
Right? Exactly, yeah. Well, what are you talking? What?
Hey?
Yeah, what?
Come on. I don't get it. Come on. What happened?
Yeah, I don't get it.
But yeah, Cody could be the guy. I think he's got the personality, he's got the talent, and if he does it right, I mean, he could seriously take the city by storm. He already has, but even more so.
If you are the Clippers, or the Lakers for that matter, and you have an opportunity, do you go and get Russell Westbrook? If he is available, do you go and get him? That's what we'll talk about coming up. But Jason, who won BJ's today?
Fred, Marcos and Diamond Bar said the Dodgers aren't only going to make the playoffs, but they're going to win it all. Fred Rogan, what does he win?
Jason, thanks very much. He wins a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. Wherever you are and whatever you do, there is a BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse near you. Over 140 menu items, 50 craft beers, a one-of-a-kind Pizookie dessert. And today, that Pizookie dessert is $3, and it's half off on wine by the glass or the bottle. Here comes Russell Westbrook. What do you think? Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. Kevin, what do we have coming up at 1:30?
Fred, some people may argue that a little weed never hurt nobody, but one major professional sports league completely disagrees with that notion.
Oh, killjoys. Buzzkill.
Buzzkill.
Literally.
All right. We'll have good call, bad call coming up at the bottom of the hour. All right. Here's the deal. LeBron James and the Cavaliers sweep Toronto out last night. Just sweep them out. And Toronto had the best record in the East. They were the number one seed. Let's not sit here and drool all over LeBron, because we all know how good he is. And we know that he's a one-man wrecking crew. Quite frankly, he did have a little help. But by beating Toronto, he basically beat five guys. He's playing against five guys. He has a little help occasionally.
LeBronto.
Right. LeBronto stuck it to him pretty good. But that begs this question. Now, please consider this for a second, because it ties into a team here in town. You're Toronto. You're very good. Regular season, you play outstanding basketball. You get to the playoffs. And when you get to the playoffs, you get hammered. So even though you've had a very good regular season, this tells you one important thing. When it matters, you can't win. You're not going to win. The Toronto Raptors are not going to win the NBA title. They're simply not in their current configuration. It's not going to happen. We've now seen this. We've seen the movie. We've seen how it ends. They're not going to win the NBA title. Draw this comparison, Rodney. The Clippers. The Clippers, yeah, when they had their great little group, that window. You know something? They had their shot. They were not going to win the NBA title. Didn't win it. So now Toronto and the Clippers, I believe, find themselves in the identical spot. What do? Because you know you're not good enough. You're not going to win. And let's just remove, well, you, in the West you have Golden State, and in the East you have you're not going to win. It's not going to happen for you. What do you do if you run those two franchises?
Yeah. Oh, man. What was it? The Clippers for those years, the stumbling block was, well, they lost to 3-1. They're up 3-1 to Houston. They lost.
Yeah, that was bad. And then they were injured. Everybody always got injured at one point or another.
But it was pre-Golden State's run, too, that they stumbled along the way.
The Clippers were Golden State before Golden State.
Yeah.
When Vinny Del Negro was coaching the Clippers, they were Golden State. They had that athletic, quick-paced, exciting brand of basketball.
But they were always knocked out by some unforeseen situation.
Right.
So it would be injuries or a team that got hot at the wrong time. Whereas in the East, until LeBron leaves the East, it's going to be hard for anybody to get out of there. And Toronto, albeit having, you know, the season that they had, the best season in the league and the number one seed in the East and all those things, they've got a block when it comes to LeBron. They can't beat him. Just can't beat him. And if he stays, well, that remains to be seen what happens there. But I don't know if you break them up because they've got two very, very good players in Lowry and DeRozan and Serge Ibaka. Maybe it's one more player. Maybe it's, you know, going for it and adding a free agent to it that puts them over the edge. Because right now in the current, you know, configuration, there's no way in the world they can beat Cleveland. They haven't beat Cleveland because Cleveland owns them and LeBron owns them. But I don't even know if they beat Boston.
I don't think so. I don't think they beat Philadelphia next year.
Right. So they need help. I don't know. But I don't know blowing it up.
I don't know if you blow it up, but I know this. Very much the same for the Clippers. You've got to do something different, whatever that means. Yeah. If it means adding someone, you do it. If it means subtracting someone, you do it. Because what happens is the fan base becomes very frustrated. That's why I've said so many times, your goal in the NBA, you need to be really bad or really good. And if you're really bad, you try to get really good. And if you're really good, you try to win a title. If you're in the middle, you're in no man's land.
Yeah.
You're in quicksand. You don't exist. Sure, you put people in the seats for the regular season, and they get excited. But by the time you get to the playoffs, that's when the games really begin. And if you get to the playoffs, and you keep getting knocked out, and there's no growth, and there's no perception of growth, then you've really wasted the year.
Yeah.
And I think that's where
and
Toronto is.
And you start to lose your fan base.
Right. People become frustrated. In life, there's always a level of expectation. If you're really bad, the Lakers, we expect you to get better. As you get better, we expect you to get more exciting. As you get better and more exciting, we expect you to make the playoffs. When you make the playoffs, we expect you to win in the playoffs. You understand there are steps along the way. Toronto has failed expectations, and that's how people think. There's an expectation. If you don't live up to it, you're going to lose people. They're going to become disenchanted and frustrated. I think that's what happened with Toronto. And quite frankly, that's what happened with the Clippers. They simply, fans, there's a level of expectation.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. You remember the teams, I mean, you're around, I was around the 80s. It took, it took Detroit a while to get past Boston. You know, they fought Boston, couldn't get past Boston. Eventually, they got past Boston. Chicago, they couldn't get past Detroit. Right? Year after year, they would get bounced by Detroit. And eventually, they got over that hump. And I think that, you know, those memories stick in the fans' minds that eventually the Clippers got to get over that hump. Whatever hump that was, they got to get over that hump. It's a Houston hump. It's a, you know, a Sacramento hump. Whatever hump it was, they couldn't get over that hump. And the same thing with Toronto. They can't get over that Eastern hump which is Ben, Cleveland, and LeBron. So at some point, the fans are going, what in the world do we got to do to get over that hump? Because that is not good enough. You know, going to the playoffs, getting bounced in the first round or second round, not good enough. For a Clipper team like we witnessed here, it was just not good enough.
Now, another team that cannot get over the hump, and some of this was self-inflicted by their owner, is Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City had James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Russell Westbrook. And the owner there didn't want to pay the luxury tax.
Made it to the finals.
Yeah. Didn't want to pay the luxury tax and let James Harden go. Think about what that might have been like, the three of them playing together. That could have been totally and completely dominant because Stephen Adams is there and they don't pay him much when they got him. I mean, that could have been an incredible team. So, self-inflicted. He let Harden go. Pound-wise, penny foolish. Then Kevin Durant realizes we can't win here. We're not going to win.
Yeah. By the way, Serge Ibaka was on that team too.
Serge Ibaka was on that team. Right. Yeah. They got rid of him.
Yeah.
Okay. So Kevin Durant realizes we can't win here. He leaves. He says, forget it. I want to win. He was criticized for it. Not by me. You should want to win. Go where you can win. It's not indentured servitude. You don't have to stay there forever. That's why there's free agency. So he left. All right. Now they go out and they get Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony was a terrible guy to bring in because he's not going to win. He's simply not. He's too ball-centric, and now he's too old and too slow, and he makes too much money. But that's who they went and got. Plus Paul George, who is going to be a hot commodity on the free agent market. They can't win. Paul George will leave. Why would he go back to a place where he can't win? Carmelo Anthony feels like he's in jail making $28 million a year because they want him to come off the bench. If I'm him, I am thanking God every day that I'm making $28 million a year, even if I have to be the sixth man. So there's one guy left. That's Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
We know history has taught us they're not going to win a title. They're not. Not with Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City. So if you are now the owner of the Thunder, the man that gave up on James Harden, and understanding that Russell Westbrook is going to consume an enormous amount of money on your cap, an enormous amount of money. You pay him, you got him, that's your guy. What do you do?
Ooh. And you know that somebody's out there waiting to think that Russell Westbrook is the missing link to them winning a title, that get him over the edge.
Well, if you're Charlotte, for example, you know what you think Russell Westbrook is? A guy that'll put people in the stands every night. That's
there
what you think.
Yeah.
Anybody that thinks
line, right?
Russell, right. Anybody that thinks Russell Westbrook is the missing piece of the puzzle? No, he is the puzzle. He's not the missing piece.
So he can't go to San Antonio?
The way he plays, I don't think they'll win a title with him. Do you? Do you?
Probably not.
Okay,
probably not.
We now know what we have. One of the most exciting guys in the league, getting older and making an awful lot of money. A guy that'll put fans in the stands every single night. But when we get to the playoffs, we know what will happen. What do you do?
Yeah. But here's the thing. He's got such a loyalty to him in Oklahoma City because those guys did leave. Durant left. Harden left. You know, through different reasons. But he's the one that stayed there. He's the one that decided, hey, yeah, I want to be here. Signed a big deal to be there. So there's a sense of loyalty there with the fans of Oklahoma City and Russell Westbrook. But I'm with you. The experiment of bringing in, probably was the wrong experiment, bringing in Melo and Paul George into that situation, it just did not work out. It was never comfortable. So looking and given that situation, who else could you bring into Oklahoma City to make it right? If you want to build around him or add two guys to him, who else is going to come there? Who else wants to come there? That's the problem.
So that will lead to the question about whether he should come here. And we will address that in just a moment. Think about it now. Lakers or Clippers fans, think about it. Maybe he should come here if he's available. Think about that. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. Thanks, big boy.
Love it.
He's so cool. That is so nice of him to do that
for us.
It is.
He's family.
He is family.
Big boy.
Love big boys.
Big shout out to Big Boys Neighborhood.
Hey, Ken, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. doing well, my friend, doing well.
Congratulations, you've done it. You've won a pair of Dodger tickets. You'll see them play the Rockies June 29th. The band Dead & Company will perform before the game. And Friday Night Fireworks featuring a Grateful Dead mix presented by Denny's will happen afterwards. For more information, Dodgers.com/Dead & Company. Congratulations.
Thank you, man. I can't wait. You have no idea what this means. It's my third week of retirement, and I'll tell you what, it's time.
Oh, I love it. Love it, man. All right. You know what I'm talking about.
Hey, I've been a Dodger fan since I was 7 years old.
What were you doing? What'd you retire from?
I got to tell you, though, it's I do cleaning pools for the last 13 years.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? It's time to retire. You've been out in the sun a long time.
Yes, it is.
Hey, enjoy the Dodger game. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it very, very much. Thank you so much.
All right. Who wants $1,000?
And answer the phone. That's the only way we put a grand in your hand. Answer the phone. Unknown number. Block number. I don't know who's calling you. Somebody may be trying to give you money. Answer the phone.
Could you abstain from sex for 6 weeks?
No.
I know somebody that has to.
Uh-oh.
We'll talk about it.
Uh-oh.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Why do you know?
Oh, I know.
Oh.
I know. 6 weeks.
Okay.
All right. We'll get to it. Anyway, before the break, we were talking about...
Making me nervous right there, Fred.
Well, listen.
You know something I don't know?
Might be you.
Oh.
Might be you. But we'll get to it. All right. Before the break, we were talking about Russell Westbrook. He could be available. Some NBA executives feel, move the guy. You're not going to win in Oklahoma City. So it begs this question, and it's very simple. If you're the Clippers, or the Lakers for that matter, I mean, you've got an incredible star in Russell Westbrook, a guy that has not won a title, and chances are will not win a title because of his style of play. But we also know that LA is a city of stars, and we also are well aware of the fact that he will put people in the arena. They will be in the conversation. But again, we've seen the movie, we know how it ends. If you're either one of the local teams and he became available, understanding that when you get him, you've got him, and it's an awful lot of money, do you go get him?
Ooh. You know, UCLA guy coming back to LA to play. I think if you're the Lakers, no. I think if you're Lakers, you've got too much young talent going in the right direction that you don't, I don't think you need someone like Russell Westbrook.
But wait a minute, you'd go get Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, he's different personality, different player though. Different player. He doesn't have to have the ball, not ball-centric, doesn't have to be that guy. Kawhi's different. But if you're the Clippers, maybe you go get Russell Westbrook. Bring him in here. You talk about putting people in the seats, he would do that. They are a scrappy team. You get Patrick Beverley back. Why not? They got a shot. Go get him.
You know, though, if you do that, you've basically committed yourself to not winning a title.
No, why do you say that? Why do you say that? Because if they add someone else, say they do, you know, Clippers can add someone else to that roster, you can't say he can't win a title because when he did have Kevin Durant and James Harden, they did go to the finals.
He did not win a title.
They did go to the finals and gave themselves an opportunity. Now, you know, obviously they lost to a Miami Heat team that was loaded, but they got to the finals. So there's no reason why, given the right situation, he can't get back there again. I hate that. Fred, don't say that he can never win a title. Given the right situation, he can win a title.
So can Carmelo Anthony. What is that situation? Playing on Mars?
If Carmelo went to the Warriors, would he win a title?
I'm not so sure.
Oh, Lord.
I'm not so sure. What, Kevin?
No, they find a way to win. It might be despite him, but yeah, they'd still find a way to be able to win.
Oh, then maybe the question should have been phrased this way. If he went to the Warriors, would he be a difference maker to win a title? Not would he, well, come off the bench. We know he won't do that in Oklahoma City. Would he be a difference maker? That's the question. The answer is no.
Correct.
The only difference he would make is they'd win in spite of him. That would be the difference. Now, with Russell Westbrook, we also know that history has taught us he's not going to win a title. And you keep going, well, what the right guys? Who the hell are the right guys? Carmelo Anthony and Paul
Durant,
George.
James Harden and Oladipo.
Okay, that's every guy that used to be there, Rodney.
Serge Ibaka, you know, they had a chance if they kept them together. Okay, let me put it this way.
All right.
If they kept them together, would they have won a title?
They might have. They might have.
Kevin?
Oh, it's possible. It's definitely possible.
Nobody's going to sit here and guarantee it.
Why not?
Because it's not guaranteed.
You don't know.
That's why not.
Why not? Knowing what you know out of the guys that left that team, knowing what you know about Durant, his career, and how
Durant ran away from him, Rodney.
I'm saying if they're there, though, Fred. I'm saying if they're there, they didn't break it up. Durant left, didn't leave. You know, James Harden didn't leave. They found a way to keep him. Serge Ibaka's still there with a young new Steven Adams there. Do they win a title?
Yeah.
Is it between them and the Warriors deciding who goes from the West?
Well, let me put it like this. If I was 7'2", 35 years younger, would I be an NBA All-Star center?
You'd be Kareem.
Tell you what, I'd wear those goggles and I'd rock that skyhook. I'll tell you what, I'd be tough on the perimeter.
Considering that they had the Warriors down 3-1 a couple of years ago without James Harden being there, I think it's reasonable to believe that they would have at least gotten back to the finals once or twice had they kept that trio together.
Absolutely, Kevin. Absolutely.
So if I put on 400 pounds, would I explode in my chair right
goodness.
Now?
Come on,
blow
Fred.
Up.
Fred, come on. Now you're being ridiculous.
No, I'm not being ridiculous. Oh, a little bit.
Slightly.
All right, you want to hear about the man that can't have sex for 6 weeks?
Yeah, it ain't me.
Vic?
Tell it.
All right. Who do you think it is? Who do you think it is? Who cannot have sex for 6 weeks?
I think it's someone who suffered a severe groin injury.
Very good. Okay.
I'm thinking one of two people.
Somebody got kicked in there, hitting a...
Oh. All right.
You know what?
Kevin, you're thinking of one of two people. Who are the two people you're thinking cannot have sex for 6 weeks?
So I'm thinking Yadier Molina.
Or?
Hyunjin Ryu. Those are the two names that immediately came to mind.
Both. Jason, do you have a guess?
I'm thinking Yadier.
I was going to say besides you.
Oh.
Ouch. Ouch. Oh. Jeez.
Ouch.
I'm on Tinder, Ouch. Fred.
Yeah. We know.
We all know. The whole building knows.
Yadier Molina. It's Yadier Molina.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, after he got hit in the cup by the foul ball.
Right.
Oh,
Doctors say he's got to abstain. He had surgery for 6 weeks.
Mm.
You know, when I was catching in
he
high
school. Surgery?
That's what they said.
He did have surgery, right?
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Oh, well, it's not the kind of thing you rub and make it better.
Oh.
It's not the thing you just do ice on.
It's a horrific injury.
Yes. When I was catching in high school, many of you don't remember my high school career. I was a very good catcher. I was a goalie in hockey, so no ball would ever get by me. We wore metal cups. You know, that's when we wore, like, deep-sea diving equipment when you played baseball. It was a few years ago. Anyway, I'm catching against Carl Hayden.
A few years ago.
Yeah. Carl Hayden, guy fouls it off, hits me right in the cup. It was a metal cup and split it.
No.
That's how hard I was hit.
Split
the metal cup. That's right. You know what I did? I got up.
You got lucky.
And then I fell down.
But that didn't put you down for 6 weeks.
Damn right it didn't. No, when I got hit in the throat, that's when. God, I had a bad baseball career.
Sounds like it.
No.
The tools of ignorance, Fred. The catching position.
Man.
The tools of ignorance.
Ball hit the plate. I tried
to catch
it.
Tools of ignorance.
We didn't have that thing hanging down on your mask.
You didn't have the Jaeger?
I didn't have the Jaeger. It didn't exist then. A few years ago. Ball bounced up at me right in the throat.
Oh, no.
Yeah, down I went. You know what the coach said? Man, I know it's 100 degrees. It's Saturday afternoon in Phoenix. It's the second of a doubleheader, and we're in extra innings. We got nobody. Stay in the game. You know what I did? I didn't even stay behind the plate anymore. I stuck my hand out where the plate was and moved way to the other side, like in the batter's box. I wasn't getting hit again. And in that game, there's a play at the plate. Here I am. Here's the throw. I catch the ball. Guy crashes into me. The umpire can't see what happened. I try to pick up the ball. The guy rolls over. I didn't have the ball. So I've been hit in the throat. At a split cup, and a guy crashes into me.
You couldn't fake having the ball in your hand?
I tried, but the guy rolled off me too fast. And so it's like 110 degrees. We play two games, and we lose. And you know what? Andre Ethier's father, Byron Ethier, was our shortstop. I have had the living hell kicked out of me. He walks up to me at home plate. He goes, "Nice job, Fred. You lost the game for us." I thought, you know what? Really? Seriously? Nice job, Rogan. You lost a game for us. I thought, man, I've been through the war here.
Crazy day for Fred at the plate,
man. I know. What in the world?
That's right. But back in the day,
split a metal cup.
That's right. Go ahead, Vic.
It's aluminum.
How do you follow that?
I don't know.
How do you follow a day with Fred Rogan at the plate in Phoenix, Arizona?
Rogan and Rodney, yeah.
Love it.
Yes.
And there it is.
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Yes.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
I got carpal tunnel, Kevin. Pointing.
Sorry about that. Multitasking back here. How about this? Good call or bad call for Andre Ethier's dad to give Fred a hard time for being the human punching bag, beanbag behind the plate.
Bad call.
Oh,
tell you that.
Great call, Kevin. Great call.
I think it made Fred what he is
yes,
today.
It did.
Toughen him up, Fred.
Toughen him
right.
up.
Tell you one thing. I saw him in Houston. I ran into him. We talked for a while. I still have more hair than he does. How do you like that, Byron?
Damn. Take that one, Byron.
Did he remember?
I didn't bring it up. I'm scarred for life.
Good call or bad call for Wendell Carter's mother to liken NCAA rules to slavery. The mother of former North Carolina basketball star Wendell Carter addressed the masses at a meeting of the Knight Commission on Intercollegiate Athletics on Monday and said when you remove all of the sneakers and gear, which are oftentimes provided by the school sponsors anyway, that the players are offering a service that makes institutions millions of dollars while the players offer free labor, and she equated that to slavery. She went on to say that while the kids do receive a free education, the schools do nothing to try to convince the players of how valuable that free education actually is, basically alluding to the fact that the kids are recruited in, oftentimes advised to take as easy of a schedule as possible so they can remain eligible to play, with no value at all being placed on the educational factor itself. So, good call or bad call for Wendell Carter's mother to liken the NCAA rules to slavery, Fred.
Well, I think it's a bad call.
Okay.
First of all, and Rodney will be able to speak to this because he did play college sports.
Yep.
Quarterback at USC. You are getting an education, and I think you make the most of your education. Now, this is just me. Rodney, you'll have your opinion on this. You make the most of it. Jack is at Arizona State. Okay? He's on a basketball team. Not a scholarship guy, but good enough to be in the Pac-12 on that team. Had a good high school career. I have to tell you, academically, yeah, they get help. If you're an athlete, you do get help. No one's doing your homework, at least at Arizona State. Nobody's doing your homework for you. Nobody is saying your education doesn't matter. They are focusing on your education. And you're an athlete. And all of his buddies are the scholarship guys. And they go through the same thing he does, and he goes through the same thing they do. So somebody's giving you a $250,000 college education. I don't know. It's just me, but I don't think that's slavery. Rodney?
It is when the school is making billions of dollars and you're not seeing a dime of it. It's like, just go out and work and, you know, go out and work for free is basically what they're saying. So they've got to find a way to do that. Now, yeah, was it a little bit harsh that she called it slavery? Yes, I agree with her. I mean, I agree with the fact that it was a little bit harsh and over the top. But, you know, they've got to fix the system. And like she said, a lot of kids, especially in basketball, that is a one-and-done situation, they're not trying to push them to better themselves in society. They're pushing them to take classes that are the easiest classes in the school, so they're not really learning anything. They're just trying to stay eligible for that 1 year of basketball. So it's not a real partnership. It's what you can do for me on the court, how you can get us on TV, how you can get us to the tournament, how you can make us extra money. There is that mentality, and it's widespread. So was she harsh? Yeah, probably not a good call for her to come out like that and hit people in the face, but she's absolutely right.
Vic?
She makes some salient points. She makes salient points. The slavery analogy is radical and over the top, but her points that the kids are being exploited by a multi-billion dollar industry is total la verdad. And she also likens it to people being in jail because, you know, when you're in jail, you do all this work, you don't get paid. She made that analogy as well. She wants best for the kids. You know, give the kids some justice. Give the kids, you know, what they deserve. She also makes a very salient point when she says the kids are not forced to go to class. No one monitors them for this $250,000 worth of education. No one's pushing them into classes where they need to be pushed. Sometimes everyone needs a push. So the kids need a push. I'm with her. I love the attention she's garnered for these comments. And bless her heart.
Were you pushed to go to class?
What?
Were you pushed to go to class?
Yeah, you had to go to class, but I'm saying that they're not pushing you to like a distinctive major. They're letting these kids take basket weaving or dance class or remedial math or whatever, but it's not pushing them towards something that's going to benefit them later in life, because all they want to do is keep the kids eligible for that 1 year that they're there.
It's severe exploitation.
They worry about their major, yeah. You know, if they're there by the time they're a junior, then maybe they'll get serious with them. But for the most part, no. They're not really pushing them to take the toughest classes when they're a freshman.
Yeah, and she also says she does not want to pay the players either, that's not the solution for it either. So she's not jumping on that bandwagon. But just saying that the NCAA and the way it's currently set up is a little bit corrupt, and they need to find a better way to make this thing work harmoniously. And the way that it is set up now is not the way to go. Good call or bad call for the NFL to ban the use of medical marijuana for pain relief. Free agent running back Mike James tried and failed to persuade the NFL to allow him to use marijuana as a painkiller. Now, one of his doctors actually told him he had gotten addicted to painkillers, many other different types of drugs. They told him, get off of that, start using marijuana, and your pain will subside and you'll start improving, which did happen. The problem is marijuana, medical or otherwise, is still illegal against the NFL's substance abuse policy. Now, he petitioned the NFL, which you can do, to use it for medical purposes, and they have to approve it. His petition was denied, and he currently cannot sign in the NFL because he still uses marijuana to treat his pain. So good call or bad call for the NFL to ban the use of medical marijuana for pain relief while allowing players to still use painkillers and some say other opioids. Rodney?
Oh, such a bad call. Let's get out of 1950. Please, NFL, I love you. I've made a great living playing in the NFL and sport I love. But you got to evolve with the times. There's been so many studies and research about medical marijuana and what it does for the body, as opposed to taking substances that are detrimental to your body, like opioids and oxycontins and things like that are readily available in locker rooms in the NFL and all sports leagues. So to have something natural that has been proven to help you with soreness and pain. Since I've been retired, I understand this firsthand, because it's easy to get caught up into the prescription drugs that you've been given as a player to continue that on when you're retired. So it's an epidemic going on, and if you have something like medical marijuana that has been proven and safer than some of the drugs that have been prescribed by the different sports leagues, it's absolutely ludicrous, and you got to get out of the dark ages and understand the evolvement of the times.
Fred?
I'll put it like this. If the doctor said, do it, it's going to be better for you, do it. Period. Yeah. The doctor is telling you. It's not like you're walking down the street and buying a dime bag from somebody. The doctor just said, this is better for you. And I'll be really honest with you, and I'm not going to get deeply into it, but I know people that have been addicted to prescription drugs, yep, painkillers. I know people, and it is a terrible existence, and it is, yep, so incredibly destructive. And I have witnessed people lose their life because of it. So I know how bad that can be. Now, if the doctor didn't tell him to do it, it's one thing. But if the medical professional is saying, this is better for you, then he should do it.
Right. And that's the thing, Kev. I mean, I'll let Vic go, but that's the, yeah, thing. They're saying it's better for you. I think most of the doctors will say that medical marijuana is better for you for pain management than some of the, you know, over-the-counter prescription drugs that many teams are giving out.
No doubt. And they've already diagnosed the fact that he was addicted to this. It was having a, yeah, detrimental effect to his body.
Exactly.
And the doctor says that the marijuana would not. Vic, I think I know what direction you're leaning on this, but enlighten us either
go,
way.
Go, Vic.
It's such a egregious, horrific call by the NFL to live in the dark ages when it comes to marijuana and the power of the healing of cannabis. This is such a horrific decision not to let the players use it, because the cycle of opiates is destructive. And forget about the doctors. They're prescribing these opiates because they're paid off by the drug companies. They get a portion of the profits. That's why they're prescribing opiates.
Good point.
And the players, and, you know, God bless James, are filing this petition. And hopefully the NFL takes its head out of its tuchus and says, you know what? Enough with the opiates. If a player wants to heal his pain and soothe his pain through marijuana or the oils or the edibles, Do it. Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah, which get is healthier out, for you.
Get your head out of your talking shield.
All right, and last one for you guys.
Don't get me started.
Thank you, Vic. Good caller back home.
Thanks, Vic.
For Major League Baseball. For Major League Baseball to farm out its best rivalry to London. Now, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred announced the Yankees and Red Sox will play two regular season games in London next year in what will be Major League Baseball's first ever games in Europe. Now, the Dodgers just got back from Mexico. They played in Australia a couple of years ago. MLB obviously trying to expand out and become more of a global brand. But we're talking Yankees, Red Sox here. This is the biggest rivalry that I could think of where you've had two major marquee franchises playing overseas. This is a good call or a bad call to take a home game away from the Yankees and Red Sox and sending it over to London, Fred.
Oh, it's a great call for the Red Sox because I think their owner owns a soccer team there.
Does he? I wasn't even aware of that.
Yeah, okay. I think so. I don't know if it's Liverpool. I'm not sure. Jason will look it up. But I think the owner of the Red Sox also owns a soccer team there. And if that's the case, it is a home game for them.
Okay.
So that's why they did it. Jason, if you find out, let me know.
Yeah, I mean,
Liverpool.
Look,
it's Liverpool.
Look, they're trying. Look, they're behind the NFL and the NBA. The NFL has been overseas for years now in London playing, played games in Mexico. Now Major League Baseball is playing games in Mexico. The NBA has been overseas for years and had a presence. And so Major League Baseball, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it with the most recognizable names. If it's Boston and New York, do it over there. That's how you're going to have an impact. If you take the Yankees, the Red Sox, or the Dodgers, or the Cubs, that's the only way you're going to have a real impact over there if you're trying to make a footprint. So go for it. That's not a problem. Absolutely good call.
So they shouldn't send the Rays and the Reds?
No.
Okay. Well, their owners don't own Liverpool. No.
Right. Why, the NFL is notorious for sending the Buffalo Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars to London for all these years, you know. Vic, you got one for us?
Bad call. Schlepping the teams over to London when no one cares about the Yankees or Red Sox. That's a bad call.
Okay.
Leave it in New York. Leave it in Boston. That's where it belongs. This is a great ancient rivalry. You know, London doesn't care. They care about the wedding coming
up. But
they will.
Oh, they do. They do care.
The owner of the Red Sox cares. He can sell more gear. He can expand internationally. That's what this is about. Bottom line.
Right. Yes.
And that's good call, bad call, gentlemen.
All right, Kev. Nice job.
Thanks.
Stay with us during the break. We're going to bust the break. We've got something for you. And then when we come back, Dave Damaschek is with Matt today out at the stadium. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports.